You are listening to a recording of the Open Society Foundations, working to build vibrant and tolerant democracies worldwide. Visit us at opensocietyfoundations.org.
My name is Beka Vucu. I'm the director of the National Foundations in the Balkans. We do this quite often, almost every day. We have a different brown bag lunch at OSF with different issues, with different subjects, with different topics, with different geographic areas that we cover around the world. But we don't do it a lot concerning the Balkans. On one hand, that's good, meaning that the Balkans are not the front page news anymore as we were in the 90s. But on the other hand, it's not, because we don't feel that people, not only within the OSF, but in general, have really the knowledge of what is happening in that part of the world. So this is an excellent opportunity to brush up on our knowledge on the Balkans, on the present situation, and it is great that Milka Tadić-Mijović, is presently in New York, and we're using this opportunity to welcome Milka to the Open Society Foundations to give us an overview of the situation in the media. As you probably read in the short bio that we have prepared, Milka has been a journalist for a very long time, one of the fighters for the free independent media, not only in Montenegro, her country of origin, but all over the Balkans. And in the last decade or so, we are faced with the, as with the title says, with the erosion of media freedom in the Balkans. So we have asked Milka to address that issue. Why is that happening? Why the free and independent media, whatever that means actually, is having a very hard time in that part of the world, and not only in that part of the world, but today we're going to focus on the Balkans, obviously focus on Montenegro, where Milka is from, but also kind of widen the scope toward some of the other countries in the Balkans. Let me just point out that since 1992, meaning since almost the beginning of the wars in the Balkans, the Open Society Foundations have been present in that part of the world, either through a number of the national foundations, local national foundations, in today the countries that followed after the fall of Yugoslavia, as well as through our media program, which today is based in London, and it's called actually an independent journalist program. We have been funding heavily, and when I say heavily, I mean heavily, different media outlets throughout the Balkans. Whether it was the radio stations during the siege in Sarajevo, whether it was the first outlets of the independent media in Kosovo, whether it was the ethnic media, whether it was Turkish or Serbian radio stations in Kosovo, Albanian radio stations in Macedonia, or Roma radio stations all over the Balkans, including some of the major dailies, weeklies, television stations, and so on and so on, agencies, like a Beta agency or some other agency that emerged as a need, as a must during those hard times of Milosevic and Tudjman and obviously the wars. Today, if we look at the map where the independent media exists and the media that we have funded, I'm saying we, Open Society Foundations, but there had been many, many other donors. We're just one of them. We can hardly recognize or we can hardly see any of those media outlets that we have been funding. They disappeared. They changed their face. They have a different now look. They have sold themselves. They have merged. The governments have seized them, and so many other issues. So that's why today's discussion that Milka will lead will give you maybe an insight. Why is it happening? How is it happening? And what are the dangers? for the future, not only of media, but the future of the countries in the Balkans. Milka.
Beka, thank you very much, and thank you all for coming. This is a great opportunity to talk in New York about situation in media, and it is really great to talk in this foundation, which supported, as Becca said, many of the free media during the worst era of Milosevic and Tudjman and wars in the Balkans. As you can see from the title, we are talking about erosion of media freedom in the Balkans, and I as well titled my presentation Shadows of the 90s. But are those just shadows, so we are living in the 90s? Or when we are talking about the free media, maybe we have a worse situation than in the horrible times of the 90s. What we actually had during the 90s, you all or most of you are aware that we had war, nationalism, war crimes, dictatorships in some of our countries, as isolation. But on the other hand, in such an environment, we had such a strong civil society resistance, focused opposition, anti-war opposition, and very strong independent media, established with the support from donors, but as well from the forces from the Balkans, from free journalists. So we had the independent media in all former Yugoslav countries, and actually those media were the, if I can say, a foundation for the anti-war and anti-nationalistic movement in the Balkans. What do we have now? Today we have a completely different situation. We have all Balkan states, which are actually, some of them are members of EU, some of them are on the track to become EU members. Governments are formally trying, saying that they are for EU values, they are for reforms, multicultural society, open to the Western, and all or most of the Balkan governments are supported by Brussels and Washington. But on another hand, we do have weak democratic alternatives in most of those countries, strong monopoles, shaken civil society, and as Becker said, almost ruined independent media. And on the same time, we have increased abuse of media. We have financial pressure through advertising, unlawful subsidies to the government-controlled media, court proceedings, high fines for defamation, increased of physical and verbal violence, and many murders of journalists which have never been fully resolved in the Balkans. Even we have a new government, but the old cases are still not resolved, as killing of Čuruvija, Panić, Jovanović, and many others. So I really think that we can talk that free media, a fall of the free media in the Balkans, and many of the Balkans' brave media who were against war and nationalism, who has been supporting public interest and wanted to be independent, no longer exist. Some have survived, but some of them now in the hands of the hidden owners, new tycoons, business elite, or the governments who are trying to control the media. There are many examples from Croatia to Serbia, from Bosnia to Montenegro and Macedonia. The one of the best weekly which we had in the region, the Croatian Feral Tribune, which was actually the icon of the free media in the Balkans, who has been mocking nationalism and well known for its independence from all authorities, not just Tuđman, but those who came after Tuđman, was closed in 2008. The Feral actually lost the battle on the market. They had actually a huge number of the sold copies, but they were not able to obtain advertisers. Another weekly, which was not that great as Feral, was privatized in a non-transparent deal following the murder of its owner and closed in 2012. This Nacional actually discovered many of the abuses of the power, and it is a rumor that actually Nacional was privatized by the guy through the offshore company, by the guy who was one of the biggest mafia bosses in the Balkans, and who has been smuggling cigarettes, and Nacional published many of the articles of him. So he just took over the Nacional, destroyed the archive, all articles, and closed down. In Serbia, we have now democratic government supported by Europe. And on the other hand, we have complete disaster regarding not just free media, but civil society and democratic opposition. Opposition is completely destroyed, and the new government, which is very much supported by Brussels and Washington, is trying to control most of the Serbian media, and some of the partisans for the public interest are actually now dying or becoming to be a commercial, and they are closing down the best shows that they have been broadcasting through B92. And they are completely actually changing the agenda. Now on this B92, it is very hard to see these stories about abuse of the state power, and of course we have a lot of problems in Serbia, but you cannot hear these stories through the B92. The others are slowly dying as Vreme and Danas. In Bosnia we have same situation. Beka, you know, Dani and Oslobođenje, both were symbols of the war resistance in Serbia. In Bosnia now they are in the hands of the local tycoon families. In Macedonia the oldest private television was closed down, the owner is in the jail, and the situation is very, very bad. But the problem which we are facing in the Balkans is not just our problem. In many countries of the EU, we actually have a lot of problem with the media freedom. In Hungary, restrictive media laws are almost destroying free media. In Italy, especially during Berlusconi time, it was complete disaster as well. And among EU candidate countries, the Turkey is an example of the highest number of journalists in prison in the world. Since I'm coming from Montenegro, I will now focus on our case. In Montenegro, maybe it's good to know a little about Montenegro. It is the smallest of all ex-Yugoslav countries, has only 600,000 people. So it's so easy to control. The only Yugoslav, ex-Yugoslav country which never changed the power through democratic elections. So since 1905, actually, since our first constitution, we changed power only through revolution, coups, or inter-party coups, cups. We can say actually that the same Communist Party is in power from 1945. They just changed the name.
And
the same guy from 89, who is president or prime minister, he's actually holding on power in his hands. So if we have actually never changed power through democratic elections, it's, I think, a good question to actually ask, do we have real democracy in this country? And according to the Reporters Without Borders list, and according to media freedom, we cannot really talk about democracy in this country. Montenegro is, according to this list, on 114th place, next to Qatar, Nigeria, and Tajikistan. In Europe, side by side with Montenegro, is Macedonia, Russia, and Belarus, while Serbia, which such a big problems in on 54th place, and Bosnia on 68. In many reports, human rights reports from State Department to UN, in EU progress reports, there are serious concerns about the situation, media situation, and freedom of expression in Montenegro. And I will give you some examples how things are going there. Last year, right after the Christmas, a bomb exploded in front of the editor-in-chief office of the Daily Vesti, one of the main daily which is not controlled by Mr. Djukanovic. On two earlier occasions, Vesti was stoned, and the cars have been set on fire several times. A week after the bombing, actually to, up to today, we do not know who ordered this crime. We have two suspects have been in jail, but they deny any association with the events. Who is behind? What are the motives? We do not know anything about that. As we do not know, and as police did not solve many previous cases, murder of Duško Jovanović, editor-in-chief of the main of another opposition daily Dan and Srđan Vojčić, and attacks of many journalists who are not writing for the state-controlled media. And the violence, the physical violence, is not the only problem in Montenegro. Another kind of violence is actually verbal campaign against the representative of free media. And this campaign is led by Prime Minister Milo Djukanović, this one who never lost any elections. So here are some quotes from Mr. Djukanović. He's calling representatives of independent media, media mafia, mice that need to be deratized. Some of us are deratized, as you saw. The biggest disaster of Montenegro. And he openly called to arrest Miodrag Perović, co-founder of Daily Vesti and Weekly Monitor. And of course, this campaign is in most against independent media, is in most of the papers and TV stations, hundreds of articles and new pieces just this year about media mafia, has been published and broadcasted. And in these pieces, Svist, Monitor Dan, and some opposition leaders are corrupted, organized crime gangsters, and female journalists are called prostitutes, courtesans, and they have been calling me prostitute in the media. So they are trying actually to destroy not just the media, but the private life of the people who are working in media. And something like this, I think, was seen in some other countries, in some really dictatorships in Latin America, in Russia, and in some other part, in Africa. This to destroy you morally, to have a problem to go on street because you are not a regular human being. You are someone who is trying to destroy the country, and you are actually the enemy of the state. This summer we had a couple of the, I can say, a horrible examples, not just against the media representatives, but against the leading NGO activists. One of our best NGO activists, Vanya Cialovic, she is dealing a lot about the corruption and abuse of the power. She has been attacked of sodomy. These attacks were based on a doctored video distributed by spin doctor of Prime Minister Djukanovic, Vladimir Beba Popovic. And 16 days, day after day, on the cover page, it was the picture from this video of the young lady who looked like Vanya, with the two dogs doing awful things, and children, and this was on all kiosks presented, so visible, everyone can see. Had a special best position in all kiosks in Montenegro, and Mr. Djukanovic and pro-government media called for investigation of Cialovic case. This campaign against Cialovic came after her role in electoral manipulation discovery. So it was just maybe a few weeks after this. Now other civic activists are targets of this horrible propaganda. And what is interesting, this Informer is actually founded in Serbia, but they have a Montenegrin edition, same as some TV stations which are leading this campaign, TV Pink, you probably know about that. And the media are pressured by other means, not just this propaganda and attacks. We have, of course, the financial pressure. 90% of advertising by state and public enterprises go to pro-government media. The government is giving illegal state aid to media which are under control of the Montenegrin government. And then we have this TV stations and other media from Belgrade who are actually, and we have this unfair competition on the TV market. And actually, we can say that we do not have a media market in Montenegro, not a free media market in Montenegro. Because if VST Dan and Monitor are having the biggest circulation and they are not having any advertising from the state, and state is biggest, and state enterprises are biggest advertisers, so you can imagine how strong is this pressure economic pressure on our media. And of course, the other kind of the pressure are court cases and investigations. For example, in Vijesti, we had ongoing investigation for 3 years. You always have these guys from the tax offices investigating, trying to find something. And, you know, it's always ongoing investigations. They did not find anything up to now, but all state media and pro-government media are saying that something is going on in VST. They are doing some illegal things and blah, blah, blah. Another thing is actually this suits against Monitor, VST and Dan amounted to 11 million euros. You can imagine what that means in the market in which you have only 600,000 people, what 11 million means for us. And we pay just in the last couple of years 300,000 euros for defamation cases. And of course, all these fines, and most of these fines were against the praxis of the Strasbourg court. These fines should be actually much lower. It should not economically ruin the media. And the famous case is, which is ongoing right now, case of Anna Kolarević, sister of Mr. Prime Minister Djukanović. She is seeking hundreds of thousands of euros from Dan, VST and Monitor for article on her role in the telecom privatization. And her role we did not discover. It was discovered like actually here in United States, and we just reported about these facts. And of course, the radio and TV show public, so-called public, PBS, is supported by the states, but this is not mean that public TV is informing in public interest. They are, of course, giving primacy to the ruling parties and leading government officials. Editorial board, instead to have programs about education, the minority groups, is actually giving priority to entertainment and sports, to the commercial programs, and that's how they are killing these other TV stations who are actually commercial. EU is regularly, in each progress report, reporting about media freedom abuses in Montenegro. But no actions, no sanctions, especially in the area of illegal state aid to the state, to the pro-government media. And EU has a mandate to act according to the agreement which we signed with the Brussels. EU will support Montenegro in next 6 years with 270 million of euros. Hundreds of millions of euros will be for the fighting corruption and organized crime and the rule of law. But there is no support to the free media. And how can you fight corruption, and how can you have a rule of law if you do not have a freedom of media in the country? And actually one of the judiciary, civil society and media are crucial for this So I think these conclusions are, of course, this what the Montenegrin government is doing, I believe the many others, not just in the Balkans, but in the other countries in Europe and in the world, are practicing. In this digital environment and digital era, media actually, especially traditional media, are much more vulnerable because of the shrinking markets, and they became a real easy target for those who would like to control them. autocratic leaders increasingly abusing these economic weaknesses, and of course they are trying to gain control. And actually, it is not difficult to control media today in the Balkans. The governments are the largest, as I said, advertisers and employees. They control not only the state funds, but they are controlling many private enterprises. And in this situation, it is really much easier, and there are no donors, so it's much easier to control media and to destroy those who were actually the most important for the democratic transition of our societies. I brought here some examples, some pictures from the exhibition of last year, War, Picture and Enemy, in which we were presented as a state enemy. So these are the, our cover pages, and they have been having this exhibition saying those guys are real enemies. You see how they are presenting our country. They are just talking about corruption and organized crime. They are not talking that we are the best example of in Europe how fast we are going to EU and how we are introducing the reforms. And at this exhibition, our prime minister, of course, was presented with his closest allies. And here are some books and those are the cover pages of this Informer, which has been, I don't know if you can see, this young lady is this Chalovic, accused of sodomy. And here is the cover page on the Informer saying that the owner of Vijesti is actually trying to sell Vijesti to the CIA. I mean, the same what the Russians did during the communist era, Pobjeda. And these are the cartoons which they have been publishing in many of the state or pro-government media. So we are rubbish. We are this big fish, because Brussels is always saying that the big fish should be in jail, means those who are corrupted leaders, and you know, and we are of course the major problem, and we should be in the jail. So this is a little from the.
Thanks, Milka.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is no clear, straightforward answer how to fight this and what to do. But before we open the floor and ask if any of you have questions, or we do have a couple of people online as well listening to this, so maybe there will be a question there. I just want to clarify and add something to Milka's presentation from the position of our foundation, and from the, so to clear and to put it in the perspective of our work in the Balkans, so that not only my colleagues from the office, but also our guests today would have a full picture. It is a paradox in a way, and Milka was giving you really a very thorough, in-depth information on the Montenegro side. But all the media that she has mentioned in her presentation, from A to Z, all the names of the newspapers that you've seen, we have sponsored. We have helped. Some of them we began, we gave the seed money. Some of them we actually...
Including the ones with the sodomy cover?
some of them. I said in the past. Some of them actually we funded on an ongoing basis for years and years and years and years. As I said, through the National Foundation media programs in all the countries of the former Yugoslavia, or through our media program, an independent thematic program that exists within the Open Society Foundation. At one point, we said enough. And at that time, as our, I would say, a spin-off of the media program was created, which is called the Media Development, now it's called Media Development Investment Fund, stationed here in New York for a very long time, headed by Sasha Vucinic, who was one of the establishers or founders of B92. Today, the executive director is Harlan Mandel. Unfortunately, he's not here tonight. Today, we invited him. So they, in a way, took over our role in helping the independent media in the Balkans by giving them loans for their development, for their work, so that they face the situation as different media in Europe as well, not only to get a grant, like, you know, you are on the budget of OSF and you every year you get this grant. But nevertheless, for instance, Vjesti, as Milka was mentioning, they have been heavily supported by the Media Development Fund. And they have been aware of this situation in Montenegro. In spite of that, if we look at the map of the Balkans today, and if we look at the media situation, and do we help media in the Balkans? That's obviously, do we as the foundation, aside from the media loan investigative fund, do we help? We only have a media program in two countries as a separate media program. We have a program in Macedonia, and we have a program in Serbia. But that does not mean that we do not help media. We do. We help through different ways, through different means, through different programs, and we use media. We help in through our civil society programs where we develop topics. We help through different fellowships and investigative journalism inputs in different media. We also help regionally. Recently, there has been a program established by BIRN, which is the Balkan Investigative Reporting Fund, a regional organization for all the independent media in the Balkans, which we also help establish, but that's not important. At this point, they have a very interesting and important program, which is the Balkan Fellowships for Journalistic Excellence. And we, through our office in Barcelona, through OSIFE, Open Society Initiative for Europe, are heavily involved with other Western European donors, the Erste Foundation, Czech donor, and Bosch Stiftung, in funding this fellowship program throughout the Balkans. So Open Society Foundation, even though we don't have, per se, a separate media program, is still involved very much in helping media. Obviously, not enough. We have shifted, just one more thought, we have shifted from radio, television, newspapers now to the new ways of communication. So we support different blogs, we support different web medias, many of them extremely popular. But it's not enough. People still, when they come home, turn on the television. People who we want to reach still buy the daily newspaper, even though it has become really expensive in a way. So is there a solution? We ask ourselves, and it is not a question that we can find an answer right now, because obviously we would have acted on it if there is an easy answer. So I'll stop here. Milka, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say that actually the support from MDIF was the main reason for VST to stay in business.
Of course.
They have been after such a pressure from the authorities, but thanks to the investment of the media investment fund, and not just investment, but pressure from the United States, mm-hmm. because this fund is a U.S. fund, mm-hmm. and this is actually one of the rare U.S. investment in Montenegro, is through Soros Media investment fund. That's how they survive, not just the paper, but the TV station. But even this support, I think they are holding 20. They are having 25% of the shares of Daily, and I believe 20 or 25 as well of the, mm-hmm. or even more of the TV station. Right. But they are trying to find the solution, mm-hmm. how to survive under such a circumstances, and it is really very hard. Yep. It is really very hard.
Yeah. I actually began my sentence by saying that it is a paradox, and it is. On one hand, you have a situation which Milka very nicely presented here of a really terrible situation in the Balkans, but then on the other hand, you have this quote-unquote democratic societies that are on their way to Europe. Mm-hmm. And if we read, as Milka pointed out, any of the Brussels reports, and one is coming in about 10 days for last mm-hmm. year, we are going to have the same absolutely wording that we had last year and the year before and the year before, and there's nothing we can do. They support these newly composed democratic governments who have just changed their names and changed their clothes, and now they are all pro-Europe, pro-EU, pro-accession. But it is a very difficult and very serious situation because media freedom is a sign, media non-freedom in those countries is a sign of rather closed societies and societies which, you know, for instance, in Macedonia, Macedonia is more and more looking like Hungary. In every sense, and unfortunately in media as well. Okay, I will stop here. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say. Just how we, as the foundation, were also touched by this terrible situation in Montenegro. Last November, there was a conference that they organized. Actually, it was the NGO in Montenegro that organized the conference, but behind the NGO was the government and this Mr. Popovic. And they quoted us as one of the sponsors of the conference. They put our name and our logo on the huge billboards throughout Montenegro and all the materials and so on and so on. It is true that we were approached by the organizers and asked whether we will be funding this conference, and I personally wrote a letter after discussing and seeing who is behind, saying no, thank you very much, we wish you a nice conference, we will not sponsor. But nevertheless, we were there. Mm. We were there. And Milka knows it was a battle that we could not win. I think I sent about 20 different emails asking them to, you know, change this, nothing. Finally, obviously, the next step was to go to court, and after talking with our legal office here, we decided not to go that way because it could only harm the media in the country, it could harm Mr. Soros' name in Montenegro, and it could harm the foundation. So we lost that battle. Anyway, questions?
It was actually a good example of manipulation.
Don't
how they are manipulating. They do not care about facts, you know. And they needed your name.
Do we have any questions? Whoever is listening to us, mm-hmm. please. We have a question.
Do you have any information about the situation in Albania?
We can say that situation in Albania is much better, especially after the changes of the government. But of course, Berisha tried to control media in the past. I have previous prime minister. I have many close colleagues in Albania. And it was actually the time when some topics They did not touch. It was very difficult to talk about the abuses of the power, about mafia or connections between mafia and those in the power. But I think that the situation in Albania is improving since we have a new government there.
If I can just add, thank you for including Albania in the Balkans. It's very much present there, obviously, and my office covers the work in Albania as well. It is true, yes, I agree with Milka that the situation is much better at this point. The head of our board, the chair of our board, is a very prominent journalist and the head of the major media center in Tirana, Remzi Lani. And he himself, obviously, will never be happy. Mm-hmm. What is the situation of the independent media? But what is important also, and maybe Darian can add something since he is a local Albanian here. But what is very important is also the regional cooperation among the different media in the region. And something that we helped build and Remzi and his media institute in Tirana is one of the initiators of the coalition of different media centers throughout the network. So we have everything. We have all these organizations, we have the power, we have the people, but it's impossible really to fight.
You know, Remzi is doing a really great job together with some others from Slovenia and some others. Yeah. They are writing a lot about the media integrity because we are all actually. This is a very important question in all Balkan states. Do we really have a media integrity there? Do we really have a real media who are writing about real problems, who are taking care of the public interest, and they are doing great, great things? Mm-hmm. And this coalition and these regional projects are very, very important for us. And they had an excellent conference in May, I think.
Really the head of the OSCE, stationed in Vienna, for the media, the director of the media for the Balkans is a woman from Sarajevo. Mm. So obviously, through her, we have access easily or easier to that. So as I said, we have all the players are so to say on our side, but still the situation still is quite difficult. And since your question was regarding the Albania, if I may say, if we look at the map of the Balkans today, I think Albania is the most democratic country of the ones presently today in the Balkans.
Wow.
What do you say? Look, you wouldn't agree fully,
look at
right?
That, yeah. Well, we finally had a fair election. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know, has it been 100 years or what? So yeah. That was big. No, I think it's, I mean, it sounds like, it's. I had no sense that it was so bad at this sense of the media in Montenegro really being surrounded, the few independent voices. And in that sense, Albania is slightly better. We haven't had murders, I don't think, in many years, or anyone in jail. They just reformed defamation laws. And there are more open voices. It's not so monolithically sort of government-controlled. And there is an explosion of opinion. There's so much free opinion. The any time of the day you open the there's six opinion shows, and anyone with
but that's good. That's democracy.
Well, yes. Anyone with or without any credentials, they have a local word that mixes experts with like plumbers or something like that. But investigative journalism, I think it's still very weak. So there's a lot of free opinion based on very few facts. The production of facts is controlled by the political class itself. And so there are leaks here and there, and that's where the scandals come from, but not from journalism itself.
Not the real stories, not as I said before, about the real investigations, actually.
That
is very important for all these countries.
very between. And in fact, I always thought it was fascinating that the most hard-hitting program in Albania, at least on television, is a comedy show. It's like that's a typical example of a system that's not entirely democratic, right? Where it's sort of you have to resign to satire because you cannot come out and say things with a straight face. That's a sort of a typical underdog reaction in a
sounds
system.
Sounds like here.
Yeah, exactly.
We watched John Stewart.
Colbert. How you are running from the problems, you know, and you are trying to, you know, to sing all day long.
I did have one question, though, which is, I work for a program here that has done a lot of work on financial censorship or indirect censorship. Most of it has been in Latin America, but we're also now moving to Central and Eastern Europe. And last year we're working with the World Association of Newspapers in Paris and national groups in Hungary and Serbia, and they did the first two national reports, country studies, on how the governments are using different forms of financial choking pressure points to control the media. And that sounds like a big theme from what you're saying, because it's not easy to, you know, throw people in jail or, well, they're still beating them up on the streets. But anyway, but it's a much cleaner way of controlling the media. There's no international outrage. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the mechanisms. I mean, you talked about 40 million euros that they're putting into the market in some way. Now, that can buy a lot of friendship. I mean, that's a lot of money for a small market like Montenegro. How exactly, what kinds of mechanisms? And you're right, some of these raise very serious issues under, like Hungary is a member state, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. subject to competition law. So yeah. If these are secret subsidies, hidden subsidies, they raise very serious competition issues.
So we have the same situation in many of those countries. The good example are both Montenegro and Serbia. In Serbia, what they did, even during this democratic government of Tadic, they centralized advertising, and most advertisers actually has been going through a couple of the advertising agencies. And all of these agencies were actually owned or controlled by the people from the Democratic Party. And if you are not in line with the Democratic Party, you might have a big trouble getting advertising, not just from the enterprises controlled by the local authorities, but these international huge companies as Telecom and others. They can, of course, cut you always if you are not in the line with the DS. Mm-hmm. And Vučić, of course, just took over this agency, yeah. So you have a centralized agency, advertising agency. The same we have in Montenegro. Couple of the agencies which are completely controlled by the those in power. And what was happening to me, when I have been talking with the potential advertisers, many of them, not many of them, but few of them told me, listen, I would like to support you, but please do not publish my ad in your paper. And I said, how do you think? How can you support me? He said, send me a bill for consultation or whatever, consulting things, but just don't add, because if they see that I am having ad in your paper, it will mean that I'm actually against the current government, so I might have a lot of problems. And of course they are controlling most of the businesses in Montenegro. But how they have been putting this money in the pro-government media, of course through advertising, then through illegal state aid. This Pobjeda, the oldest daily in Montenegro, controlled by the ruling party, was supported with the government money, which is completely against our law and against the agreement which we signed with the Brussels, against this competition law and this. But they have been supporting openly without any problem, and they put 25 million of euros in this daily in last couple of years. And actually daily is functioning illegally, because according to our media law, this daily supposed to be privatized in 2004. But they never privatized the daily, and the daily published in last 3 or 4 years hundreds of articles about the media mafia, the prostitutes which are working in this media, about us. It's one of the major tool of Mr. Djukanovic to actually ruin us.
Does anyone read them?
They are having. Actually, you know,
yes.
What? Not many. But they are having this. How you call this? And of course, the old people are reading, and that's how they are selling.
If you die, you have to be in that.
That's a solid market, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it is actually
that newspaper, if I may add, had two very shameful periods of their journalism. First one was in '90s when the war started, because they were controlled by the government. They were there to promote, to justify, to engage in war with in Balkan region, especially Montenegrin dealings with Dubrovnik and
Bombay
area. And the second, even more shameful period is this one, when they took on Milka and her colleagues in independent media. That's the worst thing actually that happens is that it's not erosion of media, it's erosion of code of ethics in journalism, because the head of that newspaper is a former famous journalist who worked for in Prague for Radio Liberty, and he was considered like a free journalist with high ethics, obviously not. And
nice special advisor.
And he's the editor in chief who signed the worst, disgusting articles that newspaper ever published, and join him another ex-hero, Lukovic, and such and such and such. I mean, I don't want to dignify pronouncing their names, because it's really
could you take down Djukanovic's photo?
Thank you.
Yes, there is a question here. Thank you very much.
So you mentioned Journalists Without Borders at the beginning, that they came out with the rankings. Are they involved more specifically in the Balkans with anything else, with any advocacy surrounding freedom of media, or are they working in the Balkans?
Journalists Without Borders are generally, I think, working. The biggest mission is this Index of Freedom list, which they are releasing each year, but their role and their reports were so important for us, because they are so realistic, and they actually are helping us to present to the others where we are. But they are not having any special projects in the Balkans, because they are the field is mostly this Freedom Index. Of course, they are reacting when we have problems. They are writing these open letters, and the prompt reactions and committee to protect the journalists as well from the New York had couple of the reactions because of the situation in Montenegro and other Balkan countries.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, just a follow-up question. So has this helped at all with engaging civil society? You mentioned that it's at an all-time low since the 90s. Has this helped at all?
Media are part, I think, of the civil society, and I think all what is going on with media actually is hurting a lot civil society, and not just the civil society, but democratic alternatives in this region. Mm-hmm. So,
but if I can just add to that, there is a number of quite active and good NGOs in Montenegro. Some of them Milka mentioned, like MANS, definitely with Vanya Čalović. It's a watchdog organization that has been extremely active, very courageous, extremely courageous, and important for the corruption issues that, you know, they published almost, I don't want to say daily, but I would say weekly, some reporting on some findings that they have. The other organizations are a number of small think tanks, like Alternativa, another one headed by Stevo Muk, or a very good organization. Milka mentioned her name because she has been also under the attack. It's the NGO which is headed by Dalibor Kauljarević. And I would have to say that there is a newcomer to the media stage in Montenegro just, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a human rights organization headed by Teagor Janets. All these we have been helping through the OSF funds, either by through the think tank fund mostly, or the Human Rights Initiative, or through the parts of the foundation that we had to unfortunately close 2 years ago in Podgorica. That's another story. I won't go into that right now. Also, we support a number of Roma organizations and LGBT scene, which is quite active in Montenegro. For instance, Montenegro was the host of, had the presidency of the Roma Decade last year. Mm-hmm. Now Bosnia took on July 1st. So there is a vibrant civil society, I would say. Not an easy place to be vibrant there and loud and open, but there is. There is a solid number of organizations, as well as there is huge amount of those which are small, tiny, but they also deal with some issues which are women's issues or environmental issues, extremely important in Montenegro, or some other aspects of. So, yes, I cannot say no, because that's the reality.
But it's difficult, and what is really good, we are cooperating with all of them.
Yes.
We are acting together. Yeah. It's a great solidarity among us, this couple of the organization and us. We are really doing together an excellent work. But, it's really difficult for many of them to work.
You had a question?
Yeah, it was very, very related, actually. In addition to civil society, I was curious whether in general the opinions of society in general and also government, but also in particular to the rankings by Journalists Without Borders, whether those poor numbers have or will affect government behavior in Montenegro or in other countries in the Balkans, and you know if the public at large is even aware of it, and if so, what their perceptions or reactions are.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this report did not help media. And you can see from the list, we are dropping down year by year. And I think the other countries will as well have a problem. I'm sure this year Beka Serbia will go down for many places. So even pressure from the EU, and EU is now the major partner of our government, is not helping much. Simply, I think, because independent media are having the role to discover all non-transparent deal, all bad privatization, to write about the bad behavior of those in power. And that is what our governments in the region would like to stop. All of this media, which I mentioned, which are having this big fight with the authorities, are actually discovering, together with these NGOs, all these stories about the manipulation of those in power, their connections with the non-transparent businesses, connections with the mafia, the other things. So that simply they would like to stop.
If we are closely, out of the time, but I would really welcome some other questions if anybody has. But while you're thinking about your questions, let me just put a comment. It's really a shame that nobody is really paying attention to what is happening in that part of the world, because obviously the different world affairs took the attention from the Balkans, whether today is unfortunately Ebola or tomorrow something that is happening in Sudan or Burma or so on. I can understand that, and obviously similarly at the Open Society Foundations we fight to find our space among many other things that are on the plate for everybody who is competing, I would say competing, quote unquote, for the funds. But there is still help we do get. We have five foundations in the region open. Montenegro is the only country, unfortunately, that we do not have a foundation there. These foundations are active. Some of them are high priority at one point, for instance, Albania at this moment, because of the very democratic government of Prime Minister Rama. Some are not even at all, people are not interested, so we have to balance that and juggle that. But as I said, all of these countries are on their way to the European Union, slowly. Some of them are lagging behind, like Bosnia or Kosovo, for obvious reasons. But there is some hope. Whether the EU goal will be in 2025 or 30, we don't know. It's not important. The process is important. The process of democratization of those societies is what it counts. And we do hope that one day, maybe not while we're around, Djukanovic will not be in power anymore. Or Vucic will really, the Prime Minister of Serbia, will really be a democratic force in that country. But in general, the Balkans are not a finished story. It is an unfinished story still. And we still have to do a lot. And I'm glad that both Mr. Soros and Chris Stone understand this position and are not reducing the funds. And are not actually, getting us away from that region, but we still exist, so that's good.
I think that is the major problem of the Balkans. It's unfinished story, and those leaders, they learned something for years. I mean, they have now this policy, they are very... They are cooperating with the West. They are supporting most of the West politics, but internal politics, it's horrible in most of the countries. Yes. Yeah. They are trying to kill all of those, all the resistance, the they are not we are, when we are not just media, that is, but for example, free market. We do not have a free market in these countries. No, everything is controlled by the authorities. Yeah. They are controlling every single business. Right. Yeah. Especially in this, in my country, we have only 600,000 people. So if you would like to have a business, you really need to be connected. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a small restaurant, you have to be connected. They do not stand an independent position, because independent position is always a big problem for dictators or autocrats or whatever you call them. So they are controlling whole society. They are controlling voters. You mentioned that you finally had the free elections in Albania. We are still waiting for the free elections in Montenegro. They are control. They are just buying the votes before the elections. They are. If you would like, if you are not voting for us, you might have a lot of problems. You can lose your job if you are, because we are the biggest employers. Yeah, or you cannot have your business, or your kids will not have a scholarship, or we simply, if you are that poor, because in Montenegro we have 30% of the people who are on the line of the poverty. So you can buy them for 50 euros. So if you do not have a free elections, how you can have a free media, how you can have a free market, and how actually you can have a normal open society? That is actually what Western powers do not understand, how those societies are deeply controlled. They will our authorities will support Washington in this ICIC story, or they will support Brussels in the battle in battle with Russia or whatever. But on another hand, they will completely control everything inside.
So Mr. Putin calls them managed democracy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thank you all for coming, our colleagues and our guests here from outside. Milka, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We can revisit this subject and broader it, since you will be in Europe for some time, and maybe jointly with some other guests that we have, so that we can put the Balkans even more on the map of OSF. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.